Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Nayrit podcast. I'm Alan Kenny, editorial director with Nayrit. Joining me on the other end is Daniel Mentz, director with Ness Holdings, to talk with us a little bit about the Los Angeles real estate market. Daniel, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, very happy to have you on. So, you've written recently that you're seeing, kind of a preponderance of smaller and mid-sized deals being made by the larger institutional investors in the LA market. I'm wondering, first of all, what kind of universe of assets are we talking about here? And what do you think is driving that trend?
We're starting to see activity within the multifamily and industrial sectors. From the bigger players. We're actually doing a deal right now with a pretty large outfit out here on a rather small deal. It's about a $3.5 million acquisition. And, this is really the first time that we're ever seeing something like this, and we're actually seeing it now on several of, the deals that we've been doing, that these bigger companies are coming in and looking to acquire what we would consider, small to mid-sized deals. We just also sold an industrial building out in San Bernardino County, also to another larger institution, and there you're looking at about a $4 million acquisition. So, these are, before these types of deals were something that, you'd find more, smaller shops, smaller investment shops pursuing, but we're starting to see these larger players coming in and swooping up these properties. As far as, trends driving this, from our discussions with our purchasers, we're just kind of curious. So, we had a chance to talk to them and just kind of ask them what their motivation behind the acquisition is. And, for them, it's just coming down to looking for a safe place to put their money. I think there's some concern or some hesitancy given on the volatility in the equity markets right now. So, they're looking for a place to kind of stash their money away where they can rely on a stable income stream without a lot of fluctuations, from what's going on right now in the economy and the global markets. And also, I think that there's still also, these smaller investments tend to offer, some upside on the back end as well. So while they get to enjoy, a nice stable income stream, there's also some good upside in the appreciation of in the value of these properties.
So would this go for REITs? What kind of activity are you seeing among that class of investors?
We're not very involved there. But, just from what I'm discussing with colleagues and reading, I think it's business as usual there. You're not, there's not a whole lot going on. I think, amongst the REITs, the, triple net retail is still kind of the king asset class that people, that they're all looking to go to. Multifamily is also still pretty strong. I would say for the most part, I haven't really seen much of a change in that environment there. It's just, as I was saying, business as usual.
So if larger investors are going for these smaller and mid-sized deals, what kind of trickle-down effect does that have on the smaller outfits?
Well, it's definitely making our life a lot tougher to source deals, to be more competitive. What we're, pretty much seeing as the only way, as the primary way to really, find deals out there that make sense for us is really going off market. And it's really, building and harvesting relationships with brokers to get access to deals that, otherwise they'd want to take the market. And then now you're competing against not only the small shops, but you also got these, large institutions who look at these properties as more of a defensive place. So they can make a lot more aggressive offers, which are, we're still seeing cap rates, very low cap rates here in the LA market. And it just makes deals a lot tougher. So, what we're having to do is just be a lot more creative in how we find these deals. It's going to make things tougher. We got to be a lot more creative in how we source, and we got to be a lot more willing to start venturing out of our sandbox, so to speak, in the sense that, you know, we're going to start to look outside of LA County at secondary markets, and that's the same goes for, you know, some other small investment shops, which normally want to stay within a market that they feel comfortable with, because, you know, the lack of infrastructure really just kind of forces the small shops to be relegated to their market of where, you know, their office is at. Now, you know, as also as evidence with our company, you know, we're starting to realize that, you know, in order to continue to find deals with enough margin in them, we're now going out into secondary markets and exploring territories that we otherwise wouldn't have. Also, you know, we're looking at, you know, various property types. You know, primarily we were doing a lot of multifamily, which has been pretty popular, but now we're also starting to get more into the commercial space, and, you know, we're having to be a lot more creative with how we're ready to underwrite a deal. So there's just, you know, there's different ways it's forcing us to have to look at deals in order to make sense out of them.
So the U.S. real estate market is also experiencing growth in cross-border investment from investors outside the United States. Can you give us an idea about their level of interest in L.A., and also what's that doing to the property market?
We've seen a tremendous amount of interest from the international community, in particular Asia, to enter on both the principal and debt side. We've competed against a number of Asian buyers on several large reposition and development deals in downtown, midtown, and the west side. On the debt side, we've started working with a number of Asian banks. We've seen a very aggressive push by them to expand their presence throughout Southern California. One thing in particular that has attracted us to work with them has been their ability to creatively underwrite our deals. As our fund primarily focuses on opportunistic investments, these deals are typically tougher to finance, so their ability to work through these tricky deals makes them a solid partner for us. With respect to the impact the international community has on the overall market conditions, it obviously increases competition and drives up market values, which makes it tougher for value-add investors such as ourselves to compete. However, I believe over the long term, there will be a very positive impact on the community as these international buyers are bringing online a number of large upscale developments and repositions, which should ultimately drive improvements in the fundamentals of the markets we're in.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Daniel, for all your insights on how things are going out there in sunny Southern California. And thank you all for joining us, too. For the NAREIT podcast, I'm Alan Kenny.